This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Good evening, everyone. It is extra time. We're going to be talking about the 3-0 defeat to the Geordies. Newcastle United 3, Wolverhampton Wanderers 0. Sorry for the slight delay. We're still waiting for our third guest, but we thought we'd get started. We're also going to be looking ahead and looking back at the FA Cup victory and to a quarterfinal with Coventry City. We're going to be reviewing also the fantastic efforts of Manny Kang, raising over £50,000 for Dementia UK. We're going to be doing our Man of the Matches, performance rating, and of course, we'll be doing their moments of the day and obviously score predictions coming up for the next game, which is against Fulham. And we're going to be looking at everything in between. I'm also going to be telling you a few little bits and asking you some for your input on something. But first of all, before we get started, I do want to say a massive big thank you to the guys that power Extra Time. That is Creation Wolf, local company delivering the industry's latest and most advanced digital solutions. They can take your brand, if you've got a company, and online presence and digital capabilities to the next level. You can find them on creationwolf.com. The link is in the description below. And they also have an absolutely banging website, which you can see there. One platform digital solutions. They tell you about what they do, the analytics, the brand management, development of apps, digital marketing, lead generation, SEO and IA, social media management, and obviously they partner us, as you can see there. We're very grateful for their support. The local company, if you've got a business, certainly check them out, get in touch, because I'm telling you, they're the best in the business. Absolutely fantastic. We do have some fantastic guests coming on, but first of all, we have got to welcome back Sooty, and Sooty's wearing a brand new retro feeler top. If you're listening to it in the on the podcast, it's a lovely blue, and it's in homage, isn't it? To I think it's in homage to Rangers, you were saying.
Correct, David.
How are you?
And everybody. Very well.
How are you, mate?
I'm good, thank you. Yourself?
I'm good. Rebecca Hart has said Sooty before 9 p.m. Well, we are doing this in one go tonight. No first or second half. We didn't really have a choice today. Agent Richard says you're looking dapper, mate.
Thank you very much, Richard.
There you go. And of course, you had a like us. I went to Newcastle. Had a couple of nights there. We'll talk about that in a bit. But you also had a couple of nights up in Geordieland. Tell everyone a little bit about that.
I did, Dave. I went up on Friday evening. Got there about 12 o'clock on the night. I stayed in a place called Alnwick in Northumberland, a bit further north than Newcastle. And came down for the day to the game with my kids and had a really good day, apart from the result.
Apart from the result, indeed. And we're also going to be joined tonight. I'm loving this. You got to love this guy. He's embraced this, he has. Look, Boston Bryan. We've already got over 125 of you, well, nearly 130 watching. Boston Bryan. Now, listen, Sutty went away for the weekend. I've been away for the weekend. I'll talk about that. Mate, you left your good lady how long ago?
A week of Sunday, 7 o'clock in the morning. Then I went straight to the Wolves to pick my Newcastle ticket up, then watched the Sheffield United game. Stayed until Thursday morning in Shropshire for the Brighton game. Then I made my way to Newcastle. I had three nights in Newcastle because I just wanted to absorb it all. And then on Sunday, I went to Perth in Scotland to see my 90-year-old aunt who's in a care home up there. And I left this morning. I can't remember what time it was, but it took me about 7 hours to get down here. I'm in Shropshire again now, and I'm back home tomorrow. So it's.
Are you back? How many days away from the ladies that?
I think it's nine. It'll be nine, yeah.
She'll be like, if you come back, she'll be asking who you are.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
And then you're coming back for the match at the weekend again.
And back all again on Saturday, yeah.
Fantastic. Now, before we get into some nitty-gritty, Boston Bryan, Sutty, you've been a channel member for a while, but Brian, you've recently become a member of the channel supporting us and stuff. If anyone's out there that's watching, considering becoming a member, because you've been a member now for like probably about a month now, yeah. How are you finding it?
Oh, it's great. It's fantastic. I met some really, really good friends, you know. I mean, it's really good, actually, you know. I mean, and everybody sort of, you know, bounces ideas off each other, you know. And, I mean, I know Sutty's going to help this guy in Australia, if he can. You know, this guy's coming over from Australia. You know, it's great. And Josh, you know, he sorted me a ticket out for Spurs, you know, because I couldn't get one, and he sorted one out that he had spare, you know, so... It's a great interaction, you know. So, you know, I encourage anyone to join. Anyone, you know.
Thank you very much. And Sutty, you've been a member for quite a while. And Rebecca says she's like a second family, which is quite nice and stuff like that, which is good. Appreciate all the support that you get given. So, like, Brian's one of our most recent ones. I thought it'd be because there's a few people ask what it's like. It's better from coming from you than it is from me. We have got a third guest that's going to be joining us soon. But let's get stuck into the weekend's action, Sutty. Let's start with you. How are you feeling before the game? We will be talking about Manny in a little bit, and I do have a little bit of something on that if you wait for. But Sutty, how are you feeling before the game, during it, half time, and then at the end? Sum it up.
Well, I was feeling pretty good until you told me the lineup, Dave, outside. And still trying to remain positive, but deep down, Dave, I just didn't know. I didn't think we were. It's the bench that worries me more than anything, Dave. Probably not the starting 11. It's when you've got, I think it was three under the age of 18 and one 15-year-old making up your bench. You've not got many options, have you? Let's be honest. But what I will say is they give it a good go. They never gave up. They worked their socks off. And we've just got to keep plugging away, Dave, because we are where we are at the moment. And let's be honest, even the most pessimistic person like myself about Wolves over the last few years, we should be jumping through hoops, very happy of where we are at the moment. We're not going to go down. It's highly unlikely we're going to get seventh place just through injuries. If we were still fully fit, Odd, I would say that we would get seventh place, but not now. But Just remain positive. We've got a lot to look forward to, haven't we? So, but overall, the game, it was, we started off really well, didn't we? Let's be honest. I thought, here we go. We're on here. They're up for this. And Newcastle did to us what Wolves normally do to everyone else. They just let us have the ball, Dave, and sucked it in, and we got it higher and higher. And at one point, if you break the first goal down and watch it on a replay, you'll see that there were eight players further forward than Anthony Gordon when he picked the ball up. Well, we just left ourselves gaping wide open. And Newcastle will never, ever, ever have three easier goals gifted them, Dave. We gave three goals.
Well, we did. Well, yeah. I mean, the first one, and our third guest has joined us, which we'll be bringing on shortly. He's in the green room now. The first one, like you say, we're almost like camped on the edge of their area. We started really, really well. Aitnori tries to play a ball inside the thingy, lose it. They kick it out. It's picked up, they run. The cross is coming in. And to be fair, even some Newcastle players, you know, they had a bit of fortune with that goal, because the cross almost gets cut out, but it deflects upwards right onto the head of Isaacs, who I really like. His Isaacs, I think if he was in our team, he would be on 15 goals a season. I think he's a great striker. I know people say he was lucky, but he was still in the right position to finish it. We nearly blocked it out. If he'd have blocked it, who knows? The second goal was just a calamity, really. That second goal should never have happened. When the ball comes across, both Saar and Kilman are in front of Gordon? Yeah. That eventually taps it in. Saar, I don't know what happened. I don't know, did he run into Kilman? I've not really watched the highlights back because I've not watched it back, been tired. But, like, that should never happen. It just basically, it's a calamity, and then he's got a tap in. And then the third goal, I've got to be honest with you, as poor as we were, really, for about 25 minutes in the second half, we were bossing it again. And had we got a goal back, it would have been very interesting. But the third goal, it's just a lump ball lumped over the top. And the guy staggers into the area, and I think it bounces off him and rolls into the net. And that sort of, Brian, that kind of summed up the game, didn't it? That it kind of summed it up. What's your take?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, but what you've both said, really. I mean, the first goal, it was just an unfortunate, not deflection, but, you know, Dawson's trying his best to cut the ball out, but just loops up. I've looked at that goal from lots of angles to see if Saar had it covered. I'm not sure whether it would have gone directly to Isaac on the floor or whether Saar would have saved it. You can't really get a good angle on that.
Yeah.
The second goal, in actual fact, it was a very, very good cross from, what's the lad's name? The one who played for Ipswich, I think. Anyway, it doesn't matter what his name is. It was a really good cross because, if you remember, it was pouring down a rain at that time.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't really see that on the TV, on the replay. You know, it's greasy. And it was a perfect ball, you know, to the penalty spot, really, you know, between the goalkeeper and the last defender. And I think Kilman hesitated. If you look at it, he hesitates a little bit. You know, it's being hypercritical, really. But if he'd have, he did have the opportunity to put it out for a corner, and I think he felt Saar was coming. And what actually happens is it does go to Saar, and he sort of blocks it like that. But it's skidding off the pitch, and it hits his hand, and it goes straight into Kilman's leg. You know, so it's just one of those things, and it just dropped to them, didn't it? I mean, we had those chances in the second half. The ball never ran for us, did it at all? You know,
sometimes it goes like that at football, though, doesn't it? Sometimes you Sutty made a comment which made me chuckle. He was in our Discord group, it wasn't on the Discord group. I think it was one of the comments where he says, if we have more than 35% possession, we never win. And then I was like, well, we beat Sheffield last week. Yeah. But I kind of get the gist. We're going to bring on our third guest today. Who has been training to play at the weekend because we're so short. Lewis, you've been football training tonight?
Oh, he's on mute. He's on
mute. You need to take yourself off mute because we can't hear a word you said. Waited all this time.
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you now, loud and clear, Lewis.
Yeah, but no, I was saying I haven't practiced for the first team. I'm practicing for Always Wolves FC for the Content Creators Cup in the autumn.
And that's right, and that will be coming. It's going to be confirmed that it will be happening again. We got to the semis last time before. Funnily enough, we're talking about a squad depleted. You know, we had 10 in the squad. One got injured before the start of the tournament. We got to the semis, the semi-final. Yeah. Had another two injuries. We were playing with just the seven of us. We had, two of our key players went out. We went out in the semis, but I was quite happy with that. And it raised over £3,000 for the foundation. It was a good day, and that will be coming again down in the thing. And hopefully, you guys will support that and come and watch and cheer everyone on. And we'll be more details on that coming out, Lewis. Were you there or did you watch it on the box?
Yeah, I watched it at home day. Yeah,
watched it in the. What did you make of it?
I think before the game, I think after seeing Newcastle in the week in the FA Cup, you know, seeing their result, I think Eddie Howe was under a lot more pressure than sometimes you know people can. Expect. I think some of it's a bit unfair. They've had a couple of, you know, serious injuries and they have struggled with players missing. Like, you know, they signed Tonali from AC Milan. That was their big summer signing. Obviously, he hasn't been able to play this season. So I think it's a bit unfair the pressure he's under, but he is under pressure. You know, they're underperforming with the squad that they've still got. And I think he needed to win. You know, they needed a win. And I think the way they set up, even at home, was... You know, you don't typically have less possession at home. You don't typically score goals on the break at home. You know, at the club of size of Newcastle with the players and quality that they have, you know, you're looking at Newcastle thinking you should be playing the way we played. Maybe we can try and catch them on the break. But, you know, I think they're just set up to be solid at the back and to try and catch us on the break. And they've really succeeded. I think the Sutty made the point about the first goal. You know, we had so many players forward. Because they invited us on, and we were playing well. We could have created an opportunity. You know, we had a couple of half chances before that they broke and scored their goal. But you know, I think you know they needed to win maybe more than us. And obviously, at the midweek game, obviously the day earlier, maybe a bit tired. But then again, they went to extra time and we didn't. So yeah, I think
we went to extra time. But they still had an extra 24 hours. And it's not just about the recovery. It's as well about the training time, the time to work on the game and stuff like that. They would have had time to do that. We had Gary O'Neill, the way he prepares for games, he really likes to work on the opposition that he's facing. I didn't have that chance against Brighton really yet, but they, you know, and then against Newcastle, again, it's recovery. And then they've got to travel up to Newcastle. I don't think they had hardly any prep time for the game as well. You've lost Wang. We're already without Kuna. Before the game, Joe Gomez isn't feeling. He's feeling his hamstrings, and they're not going to risk him. I think we did miss Joe Gomez in this game. Actually, yeah. I thought he was a big miss. Yeah. Yeah. They've took Neto off at half time to protect him because God forbid he gets injured as well. And then we've got like three of them missing. We've got like a 15-year-old on the bench who's only going for the crack, and then he's on the bench as well. Noah Lamina's on the bench as well. The bench was threadbare, really. Saying all of that, I think Sutty made the point. I think you've made the point. We started reasonably well. I thought we were playing with confidence, passing the ball. The goal killed us when it came. A bit unlucky, but, you know, the deflection and the second goal. Had we gone in at 1-0 down at half time, but 2-0 coming back, 2-0, it's away from home. And like you say, they were desperate for the wins. And I think most Wolves fans before the game, and I think Sutty, Brian Lewis, when you see the team sheet, when you take into account they were literally out on their feet against Brighton, you're kind of thinking, is this going to be a game too far? And I think it actually ended up being that way, didn't it, Lewis?
Yeah, I think there were two tough games before. Brighton especially, they pushed until the end. I think they were pushing hard, and they had a couple of big chances at the end of that game as well. So it wasn't a kind of 1-0, even though we scored early on, and it was easy from there. It was a very tough game against Brighton. I think the tiredness will play a big part, especially when we have got a small squad. I saw a couple of comments about the small squad, and it's something that they have to look at, especially if you're going to go into Europe, if that's the ambition. You can't do that with a small squad, because sometimes you will play three games in a week against tough sides, and sometimes you travel as well. I know you travel to Newcastle, but you might be traveling abroad, especially in Europa League, which is probably the one we'd aim for, or the Conference League. You end up in Eastern Europe, they're long flights. I think it's definitely going to be something they're going to have to look at. It's not enough anymore to say, well, we have a small squad and we can cope, because at the moment it's looking like we can't. And that's at the moment, without tougher games and the expectation to play at a higher level.
I think the difference when we were last in Europe was, as Sutty said, you looked at our bench when we were in Europe, and it was really strong, wasn't it? You had the likes of Adama coming off the bench, Jota was still with us then. We had a really strong bench. I know we only had a really...
We were very, as well, under the Nuno, it was their first 2 years as well. We hardly had any injuries. It was a small squad. It's probably as small a squad as it is now. Yeah. But we had hardly any injuries at all for 2 years.
Yeah.
We were blessed. And to be honest, Gary O'Neill has said himself that, we've not done too bad with injuries. We've had the odd one out. We've not had a mass load of injuries. But eventually... these things, if you're having to keep playing with a small squad, you're having to keep putting, you can't mix it up a bit. Don't forget, as also on top of that, we've had the Asia Cup and the African Cup of Nations. So squad's been put under extra pressure there. It ultimately catches up with you. And I'm just glad that they've got a free week now to try and catch everyone up.
Dave, just to put this into perspective, when people saying, well, these are professional footballers, they should be able to play three games in a week. So each player on average runs between 10 and 11 kilometers per game. Yeah. Right. So if you were a Great Britain 10K runner, you would have to have at least a week between a 10K race and your next race, championship race.
I just want to put something context here for everyone that's listening and watching. Sutty can speak very, very, authoritatively on this, because you were an elite athlete at amateur level. So you did a lot of training. So you kind of know what the work that goes in and the recovery time that goes in for that sort of thing. You were like a top 10 in England, in Great Britain for a triathlon.
In my age group, yeah.
Yeah.
You can't just go racing day after day, day after day. You can train day after day, but obviously if you've raced and then the following day you'd have a real light training session, just like footballers will. They won't. They'll probably have a recovery day the day after a game. But to play three top flight games in 6 days, and I know other teams have done it as well, but it is... It's really, really tiring. So come game three, you are really going to fatigue. You are. It's the human body. It just can't cope with it.
At the level, like the Premier League, even if you're 5 or 10% off it, that's a massive thing, isn't it? Like you said, if you have three players off it in a game, you're going to struggle to win. But like when you your levels drop 5 or 10%, that's the difference.
Well, if you're playing that many games, like we said, you're going to struggle. I know we get it over the Christmas period. That's the same. But we're not Man City. We don't have an abundance of talent on a bench. So we are going to flog a dead horse, as it were. We're going to keep playing our best players. And unfortunately, they will pick up injuries. And these will be stress injuries, i.e. hamstrings and things like that. Just overuse. It's overused, going at full pelt all the time. And all of a sudden they go, twang, Dave. You can't go out running your car constantly up and down the M5 at 140 mile an hour without giving it a little break, because it will eventually go bang. And that's just what's happened. We haven't got the backup. To have the backup sat on the bench costs a lot of money. And I know what people will say, we've got loads of money, we can't spend it.
Yeah. Well, I was in the after I left you on Saturday, Dave, I went to the pub to watch the Luton Villa game, and I was with a lot of Newcastle fans. I mean, first of all, they said, you know, they thought that result flattered them. You know, 3-0. They said it was never a 3-0. It was like one goal in it, basically. That, you know, but very good. But they were saying about that as well. That very same thing. We've got all the money in the world, and we can't spend it. You know, it's just, you know. Unbelievable, isn't it?
Well, they've got issues in the fact that they've got to balance the books in the summer themselves, even though they've got like more money than all the rest of the Premier League teams put together, because it's all based on income. They've spent a fair bit of money. They're going to have to sell players. And I think Eddie Howe's already alluded to the fact that they're going to have to sell to buy in the summer. And it's, you know, it is crazy to think, because they've got all this money, but that's where you're at. You have to trade your players, don't you?
But also look at Brighton as well. I mean, it seems to be unravelling a little bit at Brighton, doesn't it? You know, they lost, you know, that game took it out of them last week as well. I know they made a lot of changes for the Fulham game once, but they got hammered at Fulham, didn't they? You know,
interesting, Brian, on that, because I've done an interview today with a Fulham fan ready for the fixture, which will be going out live on the channel on Wednesday evening, so make sure you do subscribe for that, and because it's a really great conversation with a top Fulham fan and Fulham podcast. And he basically said Fulham had Brighton had 70% of the play. They just hit him on the break three times. They did that. And like, it's not always about the possession, is it? It's about, you know, Wolves have been really adept this year at soaking up pressure. And then, because we've had such pacey forwards with, and you know, the people that can run with the ball like Kuna and Neto and Wang, Sarabia and all of those, if you've got those that can really drive you upfield within like 5 seconds, you could be causing problems. The problem that we've got at the moment is we're, you know, two of those weapons are sadly going to be out of action for 4 to 6 weeks, and there's Neto's the other one. Will we be able to do what we've been doing and take those chances? And if they come along, we have to take our chances. At the weekend, I thought, you know, we did create chances, but we wasn't able to convert them. Lewis, you know, how concerned should we be about the situation that we're in at the moment? Do you think now we've come through that week there, it's kind of like, okay, you know, we've Gary O'Neill and the squad have found a real mental resolve and a team spirit and a way to cope? Do you think they will be able to cope? Fulham are coming up at the weekend. They're a team that are full of confidence at the moment. 3 points behind us. I was talking to the Fulham guy. They said they've got basically no injuries other than Jimenez. You know, they're going to be feeling confident coming to Wolves, you know. How are you feeling about where we are at the moment, the squad? And what we're going to do in a minute, we're going to give our ratings and everything for the game, and then we're going to turn our focus to the FA Cup, which, you know, is something that is something to be really excited about.
Yeah, I think I always try and stress this when I talk. I think it's always important to look at the big picture. You can't change your opinion because of one game, especially one game at the back end of a really tough week, you know. So I think, you know, to change your opinion on how Gary is doing and how the team may finish the season just because of one result, it doesn't impact that. I think the Fulham game will be a huge game, obviously, because like you say, they're a team in a similar position to us in the league. They are finding their form well. I think the striker they loaned from Tottenham is doing very well. The Muniz really suiting their play at the moment. Like you said, they're injury free. That they're not in the FA Cup. So for them, if we're looking at up to seventh place, and so should they, and probably without the FA Cup and without the injuries, they're in a probably looking and think, well, they can, then so can we. So it's definitely a tough game. But in terms of, do I think that Gary's still, you know, the right person? Obviously, I think.
I don't think we were asking whether Gary's the right person or not or anything like that. I don't think there was any.
What
state of play do you think the squad is now moving forward for the rest of the season? Gary O'Neill is being, you know, a contender for me alongside potentially Rob Edwards keeps Luton up. You know, that would be an incredible job from him. I think, you know, potentially like a manager of the season contender.
Yeah, it has to be. So many people were saying we would get relegated and things like that. So, yeah, definitely Gary's doing fantastic. I think the team, it definitely can struggle, you know, pick up a couple more injuries. You know, you mentioned that we miss João Gomes on the weekend. He got injured. It's a big miss. But I think you have to look forward and, you know, the next opportunity to spend is the summer and hopefully we can spend. Because if we can't, then I think there's going to be a lot of questions, especially from the fans, from Gary, from the whole club. So yeah, I think you have to look at what the situation you've been in and how can that change. So at the moment it's clear we are quite thin on the ground and we need more players. I think that's quite certain, but it's a difficult one because if you lose players like Neto or you know, your top players, then do you go and directly replace them with that fee of sign a similar quality player with a similar price tag, or do you say, okay, we're going to buy two slightly worse players so we can have that depth in the squad? It's a difficult decision because I think, you know, we can't afford to lose Neto and not directly replace him. But we need to keep hold of Neto and also have someone of a similar quality to step in times like this week, because, you know, they're going to come a lot, you know, especially if you have the ambition to play in Europe in the next couple of seasons, they're going to come. So I think hopefully the squad can stay fit the rest of the season. I think the injury record has improved since I think his name is Matt Haywood, the doctor, the club doctor. Since he returned, I think the injury record improved a lot, which is good. I'm glad he's returned because, like you said, under Nuno, we never really had injuries, especially in the first two, three seasons. And it seems as he's come back, that kind of record has returned. So I'm very happy with that. But just as long as we can avoid injuries, then maybe we won't finish seventh. Maybe it'll be a step too far because there's some good teams up there. You know, we're a good team too, but, you know, there's a couple of teams who don't have the injuries and just might have that bit more at the end. But, you know, I think if we can finish at the top of that best of the rest pile, you know, I'm not necessarily saying the top six is untouchable, but, yeah, if we can finish, you know, maybe eighth, ninth, that's a very, very good season.
Well, any improvement really from where we are on 3 days before the season with Gary O'Neill coming in and finishing above 13th is an improvement and progress from last season. And obviously we've got the cup as well. I can see that we've got Manny in the chat. Hi, mate. We have got a few words from Manny, which I will play during this show. So make sure you stay tuned for that. We also did a watch along at the weekend with Chelsea, and there's something I want to ask you about that as well. And of course, we've got a little bit more to tell you about a cool app for you to download.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Sutty, I'm going to go with you first, mate, with your Lee Moore Windows Man of the Match, your Fox at Shippy performance rating and your moment or, of the day, highlight of the day.
Man of the Match for me second week running will be Nelson Semedo.
Yeah, explain.
I don't think Nelson did much wrong, to be honest. Always tried to attack the space. He had a 25-minute period in the second half where I don't think he was in his own half, to be honest. Yeah. So I think Nelson did well. He's become our steady Eddie, hasn't he?
Mr. Consistent.
Average 7 out of 10 across the board every game, really. Not had many bad games this season, has he, let's be honest. Been outstanding. I'm going to give it a 5, Dave.
A 5, that, yeah.
That's not me being, you know, I'm not having a go at him here. But for me, as a good side, a side that will do well, has to have depth. And although we're a good 11, I don't think we've got any sort of depth, really, where we can. Well, we certainly didn't have on Saturday, where we can change the outcome of a game. You look at Newcastle, they brought Almiron on and Harvey Barnes and Livramento. And you've probably got, what, best part of 75 million quid, 80 million quid and 3 substitutions. They're just a different level to what we are. And it's like Lewis has said, the summer will be key here, really, because I'm not so sure people will be quite so understanding so many summers on the trot where I do think we'll sell one big one, you know, whether it's Neto or a Ryan Aitnori or somebody like this. I do think we'll sell one to generate funds. That's the way it's done now. But if they don't get some depth and give this man the money they want, I do think you will hear a little bit of disgruntlement of people saying, come on, we've got to find a way now. We sold 160 million.
We need a number 9, an out-and-out proper number 9. The money, I think you'll probably find that Wolves will spend between 5 and 20 million on players, but they might push the boat out a little bit more for a number 9. But you're not going to be seeing them spending 40, 50 million.
Dave, nobody is going to begrudge them. If they get 80 million for Neto and there's fringe players like a Hodge, Kundal, all these kind of players, they could probably generate another £20 million with other players on the fringe, you know. So nobody's going to begrudge them if they bring in 100 million and spend 70, but give us a bit of depth. We have always said that our £40 million players rarely come off. Okay, Cunha's a good player, and so was Jimenez. Very good players. But that's the level you've got to go to get a decent goal scorer. But you don't have to do that multiple times and drop yourself in the...
Some of our best guys have been like the 5 million to 10 million, and, you know, they've turned out to be, you know, fantastic. What's your highlight of the day then?
Highlight of the day is going to the game with my children, which is always special. I only see them in summer holidays and things like that because they actually live in the northeast of England, Dave. So I had a good day there. My daughter is actually a Newcastle United supporter and stood with me. She was told, do not react to any goal.
She's 16, isn't she?
She's 19. She is.
19, and your son.
Do not react. But every goal that went in, I just got a nice little wry smile when I looked at her. So she was quite happy, but my son wasn't. He weren't too happy. But it was a great day out, Dave. Seen all you lot. Seen Jack on the concourse. Had a chat with Jack. The result really was, for me, irrelevant. It was about spending time with the family.
Fantastic. Brian, your man of the match performance rating and highlight of the day, the weekend?
Yeah, I think I'll give it a 6. Obviously, I don't think losing 3-0, you can't get much higher than that. But, now the dust has settled, I don't think it was as bad as what we actually thought it was. You know, considering the team we put out, I think it was just... unfortunate goals, really. The ball ran for them a little bit, didn't run for us. But it wasn't, Brighton last year 6-0 and Arsenal 5-0, you know, a lot worse than that, a lot worse. You know, I didn't know where
I tell you, by the way, 5-0 to Arsenal at half time against Sheffield United.
The under 21s drew 2-2. They scored in the 92nd minute, I think it was. I'm a massive Semedo fan. I really think he's this season. He's been fantastic. But I'm going to give my man of the match to Tommy Doyle. I thought he didn't put a foot wrong. Really, if you look, yeah, just I can't think him playing a bad pass. You know, he was really good actually. But just unfortunate, I think we do miss Gomez. I think he's probably at the moment, with Kuna being out, he probably is our best player, you know, at the moment. Even Neto, I'd say he's more important, you know, because he just puts in so much work box to box, you know, and we really missed him, yeah. But my moment of the day was seeing Manny come to the Bobby Robson statue. I think it was fantastic. Yeah,
absolutely, well said. Those of you that watched the match reaction, I know you were watching us do the match reaction. I actually gave Manny man of the match for that as well. And you know, I have to put it out on social as well with his picture and stuff, because, you know, I mean, come on, absolutely fantastic. And we will have a message from Manny shortly. Lewis, and don't forget, if you want to join in the chat, subscribe and you can join in the conversation. We will put some stuff up for you, some of the chat up there. Lewis, to you, same question.
Yeah, I think, you know, like, I agree with what Brian and Sutty said in terms of man of the match. The two players they selected, I think, generally show that the team didn't do much wrong on Saturday. We probably had large periods of play, but we were a much better side than them. And, you know, I think you could see that we were the side with confidence. It's just they had that kind of the killer edge on the break that caught us. So I think, you know, you look at the players, if you break each individual player down, you'll struggle to find mistakes, apart from maybe Kilman and Saar with the goal on the second one. But generally, I think the play was really good. But I'm going to go with Nelson Semedo, because I think sometimes, you know, as Sutty mentioned, and Brian as well, he doesn't get the credit he deserves, because I think too many people judge him with the view of him when he first arrived with such a big fee, and, you know, in that pandemic season with Nuno and Bruno struggling. But under Gary, he's really excelled, and he's become a player that is quite crucial to what we do. And the fact that he's kept Matt out of the squad, it tells a lot, especially when Gary's mentioning how well he performs in training, Matt. You know, for him to be consistently starting over him, even when Matt plays in the cup or whatever, I think it's a real testament to how good he's been. And he's so consistent, which I really like. He rarely ever has a bad game, which, you know, you probably used to get from him a few seasons ago when he arrived. But he's adapted to England and he's really performing now. I think the match rating, again, it could, you know, it's a 3-0 loss, so it can't be any more than a 6. But it's not the end of the world. You know, you take into all the variables that we spoke about, you know, the tiredness, you know, the need for Newcastle to win probably a bit more than us. So the way they played in comparison to how we played, you know, I think we were all right. You know, it's not amazing. I think, you know, they clearly scored the goals, and that's, you know, that's what you need to do in football to win matches. You score goals. But, you know, I don't think it's terrible. I think, like Sutty said, there's a clear need for us to sign players that can change the game, because, you know, in an ideal world, when you see how Newcastle are setting up, when they're sitting a bit deep, when they're trying to catch on the break, you have a couple of players who suit playing against a team like that on the bench to bring them on and change the game. We just didn't have that. You know, I know we obviously have a few injuries out at the moment, but I don't feel like we have that different type of player at the moment either. We have our 11, and that's it, really. We don't have somebody who can play something a bit different. And maybe, you know, Sasa or Fabio, maybe Sasa to a lot, probably a bigger extent, would offer something a bit up top. But obviously, it's probably too much of an ask for him to come back with his knee now. But I think the moment of the day for me as well would be the recognition Manny got. I think, you know, such an excellent achievement for him, doing so much fundraising for the fans, the charity as well, sorry, for the for the charity. And I think the recognition the club gave was good, you know, for him to go to the Stanford side and meet some of the players. Saw Tommy Doyle, really had a good chat with him, which was really good to see. It's good that the players, you know, they recognise these kind of achievements that the fans put in. Yeah, and a fair play to Newcastle as well for accommodating it as well and, you know, getting involved.
Absolutely. Whilst you're on that, I will now play a little message from Manny to all of you guys. I did obviously ask him if he could come on tonight. I didn't expect he would because, let's face it, he has walked 195 miles. so he is a bit tired, but this is a message that he sent to you guys to have a listen to.
It's Manny here. 48 hours after the end of the walk to Newcastle. I don't think I can ever put into words what the last week has been like, the experience, the moments, the lows, the highs, the togetherness, you know, the messages. My phone, I reckon I could be checking my phone a year later and still find messages of love and support and togetherness from you. Huge kudos to all the fan base from both clubs. Newcastle fans were absolutely amazing. Lots and lots of donations on the day as well. Yeah, it was hard, but it was also hugely enjoyable, believe it or not, and raised a huge amount for unbelievably deserving cause. You know, they do so much good, Dementia UK. And yeah, we're up to £53,000 raised as of this video, just from the walk alone, which is just mind-blowing. And it just shows you what we can achieve when we come together to do good. So thank you for all your support on this channel, especially as well, and all the others, you know, media outlets and everybody else that has, you know, shared the story and encouraged people. You've all played a part. You've all, you know, been part of the team, the backroom staff, the people that have been pushing me and Jeevan on. Utterly proud of Jeevan as well. He, you know, did 33 miles with me in the first day and finished the walk over the Tyne Bridge as well. He's okay. I'm okay. Yeah, a few aches and a few pains and probably need a few hours of sleep and a lot of food, but we'll get back. And we'll go again, London Marathon on April the 21st, and hopefully a Samosa Saturday coming soon as well. So thank you, and God bless you, and see you soon.
Some fantastic words there from Manny. Guys, the link to his Just Giving page is in the description, whether you're watching it live, whether you're watching it on catch-up, or you're listening to the podcast. If you want to still donate and support, every penny helps towards what is helping, you know, treat and enable nurses and support for families that are going through loved ones with dementia. So, yeah, incredible effort. I don't know. I'm hoping he's not going to try and top that again next year because I don't know where he can walk to. It's like, unless we get Europe, and then he might go and walk somewhere like that. But absolutely, absolutely brilliant. Well, let's move on now to the FA Cup. Because it was Wednesday night, the FA Cup, Wolves faced Brighton. 2 days after facing Sheffield United, Brighton with an extra day's recovery again. Brighton and Hove Albion, our bogey team, you know, great side. The way that they have got some injuries, but they keep the ball so well. Lamine has proved that he can score even when he's on his backside. Puts us in front. And then literally, it was like a rear guard action for 93 minutes. And what has impressed me for that game is the desire of the team, and the noise of the fans when they could see that the team was starting to tire. The way they rose, and it wasn't just the South Bank, it was all four sides of the stand. And there was 23,000, so it wasn't even full. The noise was unbelievable, Sutty.
The big thing this season about this team, Dave, is there's clearly a bond there, isn't there, between every single member of this squad, whether you're a bench starter, whether you're a goalkeeper, one of the three goalkeepers, all the first 11, the management, the coaching staff, and they fight for each other, don't they, Dave? Now, I don't actually think we were the better side technically against Brighton. Brighton seem to be able to have a bit of a conveyor belt at the moment of being able to bring players in that, well, to be honest, I've never heard of half of them that played.
We couldn't get the ball off them, could we?
No, and they just slot straight into the system that they play. And I think they're probably in the top four sides in this country of possession football. And they can unlock you like you wouldn't believe. But we showed some bottle. The crowd were loud, weren't they? And everything is just set in place for the 16th of March now. We just hope that we can keep enough fit players going and we can just about get through Coventry, the Coventry game. Because I firmly believe when we've got a full fit starting 11 and an half decent bench, I don't think many will want to play us in a semi-final. And if we could draw the winner of, if we get through, that is, of Chelsea and Leicester, I firmly believe we're going to a final, Dave.
You believe it?
Yeah. It's got a funny thing. I've never, ever watched the Nuno semi-final back to this day. I just can't bring myself to do it. Likewise with the Euros, when we lost in the final of the Euros, I was there. I've never, ever watched it back. Can't bring myself to do it. And I've got a funny feeling that Wolves are going to get to a final of the FA Cup this year and England are going to get to the final of the Euros.
I'm loving that. Brian, what's your thoughts on it?
Well, the two games, Sheffield United and Brighton, reminded me very, very much of the games that we won towards the end of last season to keep us up. Different circumstances. I mean, we were desperate last year. We just didn't want to go down. But they were very, very similar. Apart from the Liverpool game under Lopetegui, which we were brilliant, every game was tight, wasn't it? We could have lost a lot of those games that we won. We could have lost. They were very similar performances. But I think that's down to the fact that we haven't got our best team available at the moment. And as Keith just said, after the Chelsea and the Spurs game, I actually thought, there's no one. We don't fear anyone in this league. But we do need everybody available. That's the problem, you know. We two players out now, hopefully not three. But if we can get everybody there, we've got a chance. We've got a chance, you know. And it doesn't really matter if we do or we don't go to Europe. We won the FA Cup. We'd be in Europe, yeah. It's just now, and we just got to enjoy it now. And the future's the future, you know. We don't know who we're going to sign or whatever, you know. But just enjoy it, you know. I mean, those days at Chelsea and Spurs were just unbelievable, weren't they? You know, and we can do it. We can do it. Oh, there was someone on TalkSport the other day. They were talking about the semi-finals, you know, and all that. You know, who would play who and whatever. And they were saying that they were saying about Chelsea. You know, if they get through their round, they'd be open and praying to play Wolves in the semi-finals, so they can get to Wembley. I thought, where did you get that?
I was listening to that. I was like, I actually rang because I was like, what are you on about? It's like, we've beaten three times in a row. They want to play us. I'm like, come on.
Yeah, exactly. That was my thoughts. I was driving at the time. I thought, what the hell is this going on about? You know? But I think it was Simon Jordan, wasn't it? You know? Yeah. Well, whatever. We just need to get everybody fit, really. That's the thing. We haven't got that. Just that strength in depth. But on that strength in depth, what I'd just like to say is I did make a comment after the game that I didn't really think Nathan Fraser was quite ready yet. And he may not be, but I think if we do have further injuries for Saturday, I think it's time just to let him loose.
I thought he did okay, Fraser. Yeah. I think, you know, he's a young lad. He had the best shot of all of everything. Yeah. It was very similar to the Brentford game. The keeper made a very good save. He is an actual number nine, actually. Yeah. You know, he's built, he's strong. Probably hasn't quite got the pace. You could see at the start of the second half, Wolves were getting wide and banging crosses in, which we weren't doing in the first half to try and get him on the end of. But, you know, he'll give everything. It was a big thing for him playing, you know, at St James's Park. He didn't let anyone down, put himself about, held the ball up. He's a young lad. He knows where the goal is. I don't care how old you are or whatever it is or what, you know, Bully used to play in the fourth division and the third division. He went and scored for England, you know, because if you're a goal scorer, you know where the goal is and you can hit the ball.
Robbie Keane was 17 when we threw him in. You know, and they were umming and ahhing in those days. You know, we had Don Goodman and Bully and David Kelly, I think, was there at the time. You know, and they threw him in, and he was a massive success.
If you can use the players that you've got and get the ball into the, and he can get into the position, you can get the ball to him. Then he's still a striker. He still have got to put it past the keeper. He can do the job, but that's the key. You know, is he going to be quick enough mentally and in the thing to be able to read what we're trying to do? And I'm sure, you know, they'll work on that. Bellegarde's obviously been, you know, played, and we've talked about he's out of position. Lewis, you know, the game against Brighton, your take, we're walking up to the game, the draw's made. I'm like, oh my God, we've got Coventry at home if we win. We cannot mess this up. What an opportunity to get to Wembley if we can beat Brighton. And it reminded me of the quarterfinal against United in terms of like the noise levels. And, you know, we talk about the league and we talk about the start of this season and everyone, you know, I was talking to the Fulham guy and he said that, you know, we'll add Wolves to go down. We're safe. We might squeeze into the top seven. It's probably going to be a bit too far, but we're going to have a lot better season league wise than most people have. But like the FA Cup, if you're going to tell me I will finish 12th or 10th and go to an FA Cup final, I'm sorry, but I'm taking an FA Cup final. You know, that's got to be for our fan base. That would be everything, and I think the players know that and they really want it. And the things that I'm going to obviously let you speak in a second, but like you look at the first game against Brentford, down to 10 men after 9 minutes, 1-0 down at half time. We somehow managed to draw the game, losing twice to Brentford in the away game, very similar to the run we had when we were 2-0 down against Shrewsbury in the when we went to the semi-final last time, and then we were behind against them in the replay. Came back, won it. We draw our local arch rivals in the next round. We haven't beaten there for ages. Put them to bed, 2-0. Didn't play that well, got the job done. Next round, we're playing a bogey team and we never beat. And they found a way to win. And now we've got a quarterfinal of which we played Coventry in 1973 in the quarters to a championship club who were hoping to get into thingy. At home, it's not a given, but you are not going to get a better opportunity to get to a Wembley semi-final and a chance to redeem what happened 5 years ago than this game, are we, mate?
No, I think before the draw took place, if you could pick one team out, because they're all tough teams, they've all made it to that stage of the competition, but if you could pick one team out, you'd pick Coventry at home as well. So, yeah, it's a fantastic opportunity. I think, like you said, Brighton, they played better than us. They were better than us on the night, Brighton. But ultimately, the same way Newcastle, we were better than Newcastle on Saturday for large parts of the game. We scored a goal against Brighton, so we won the game. You know, it's about who scores the most goals. I think Brighton, the way they, you know, Sutty spoke about it, the way they do their business is fantastic. They are the kind of epitome of self-sustainability because nobody is untouchable to them. They set their price, they'll sign them very cheap, they'll set their price and they'll get their price. And it seems, and they'll just replace them with somebody equally as good they are a fantastic model to follow at the moment. Yeah, so I think the way they play and everything, especially on earlier in the week on Wednesday, I think it suited us with holding on to the goal from early on. I'd like to talk a bit about Fraser as well. I think, you know, what I like about Fraser is he's very brave. I think I liken him a little bit to Benny Ashley-Seal, striker who came through the academy a few years ago. I think Benny was always just that, you know, he was in a similar position. He was kind of on the fringe of the first team, pushing us slightly in the cup games. But I think he was never brave enough. What I like about Fraser is, like, not an arrogance at all, but he has a confidence to go up against the centre-halves and say, well, I'm here now and I'm going to play. I don't care, you know, if you're an established Premier League centre-back, I'm here equally as your opponent. And I like that. He gets physical. And it's something different to our striker at the moment. I spoke about how it would be nice to have something different on the bench. He is that. He's not quite there yet to be consistently playing. But at the moment, you look at, well, what else do we have? And he's probably the best option. So, like Brian said, I think Bellegarde showed moments of quality, especially the Brighton game, the goal.
That turn across, yeah, fantastic.
That's what he can do. I think if you give him space in the midfield to run, that's what he can do and that's what he's good at. But it does get to a point where you think, well, maybe against some teams, we do need an out-and-out number nine on the pitch, and who's the best one that we've got available at the club? And you have to say it's Fraser. So, yeah, I'd give him a start if it got to it. I think it would be, you know, if he scores, you know, he's confident, he goes into the next game, he starts again, you know, you go on a bit of a run then, you might not score again, but, you know, you take that confidence with you and moving forward into the next season where he may play a bigger role, it's good for him. So, yeah, I like Fraser. I think he gets about, and I like that in a striker. I don't like, you know, sometimes people have really criticised Fabio for him being over nice. You know, he wants to shake everybody's hand and he wants to help the defenders up. I like Fraser's confidence that he has at such a young age as well. And then in regard to, you know, the possibility of getting to the semi-final and getting to a final possibly, I think if the squad stays as it is at the moment, say, for example, Cunha stays out with an injury for the rest of the season, and a couple, you know, our squad is what it is at the moment. I think a decision will have to be made if we do win the Coventry match. So maybe just not go into matches in the league with the idea of losing, but more with the idea of winning the FA Cup games. You know, I liken it to the situation that Watford found themselves in when we played them in the semi-final. They were kind of neck and neck for seventh with us before that semi-final. And then when they got to the final, they really dropped off in the league because, you know, they were hoping for a good game against Man City and hoping to win. Obviously, it was not, you know, it didn't happen for them on the day. And I'm not saying we should go into league games thinking we should, you know, we shouldn't give it all and we shouldn't try and win. But it's just thinking about how can you conserve what you've got. You know, if you expend all your players in the league and then you go to the semi-final against, you know, like Suchi said, maybe a Chelsea or a Leicester, but you spent all your players in the league, it's difficult to have a top performance, which you would need because I think, you know, Chelsea, that they've not got much to fight for this season now.
Not a given that they're going to get past Leicester either, Chelsea.
Well, yeah, you have to look at that as well. So, you know, that's providing we get Leicester or Chelsea. You could end up with Man City in the semi-final if we get there.
I don't know, we're not going to get Man City.
But I think we could beat them, Dave. I know, obviously, the last time we beat them, a lot of people made a big case for Rodri being absent. And, you know, I can take that point. He's a fantastic player. He's probably, for me, one of the best there, and they've got a fantastic squad. But, you know, we can still beat them.
On the whole, we've got a better record than most.
Even against Liverpool earlier in the season, in September, we played well that day. You know, the scoreline may say otherwise, but we played really well. So yeah. I think anyone, you know, nobody will want to play us in the semi-final if we get there, but we have to beat Coventry. You know, you can't get to the Coventry match thinking, oh, well, you know, they're lesser opponents because, you know, sometimes we slip up against these kind of teams and it would be a big shame because it's a big opportunity to get to this, to get to the semi-final and hopefully beyond.
Make no mistake, Coventry fans are going to come in, you know, going to be up the motorway. They'll fill out their allocation. It's a massive opportunity for them coming to Molineux. They'll be in full voice. They've got nothing to lose, really. They're the Championship team coming to a Premier League team, you know, a bit of a Midlands derby. Coventry aren't a given. There's no way that Gary O'Neill or the team are going to go into that game thinking it's a given, that they're going to go, surely going to go as strong as possible. You know, obviously we're going to be missing Kuna and Wang, but we should still have enough. But if we get through that game, there's a possibility Kuna might be around for the semi. And if you get to the final, they should all be back, fingers crossed. But like, we've got to get through. It is not a given against Coventry. Not one fan, not one player, not anyone can turn up to that game thinking it's a given. You've got to go out on the pitch. You've got to match their energy and their fight. You've got to win the battles. And then the quality should take care of the rest. A little bit like we did at Albion. At the end of the day, Albion came out at us having a go. They probably had the better of the first 20 minutes, but it was the quality. And that's the thing. Will we have the quality on the bench to make the difference? Because Coventry got a striker that scores plenty of goals, so they can score. But I feel positive they're not going to let this opportunity pass, but it ain't going to be as easy as people think it will be, because Coventry ain't a bad side.
They didn't look too good on Friday night against the Albion. They watched the whole game. They you know, watched bits of the Maidstone game when they were 3-0 up. I switched off. I thought, well, you can't compare.
But they got, again, Maidstone, Coventry, they got the job done against lower league opposition. So we'll see. It's one to look forward to. We'll talk more about it on the channel. We did a watch along at the weekend. We brought the watch along back. And I was pleased to say that we had Chelsea, that Captivating Chelsea took it. This was her getting all set up just before she did the watch along. We've seen her come on to Extra Time. She did an absolutely amazing job. What I want to know, guys, is like, how did you enjoy it? Do you want to see Chelsea back doing the watch alongs? We're already getting some comments here. Oh my God, already. Chelsea was amazing. She's a superstar. Absolutely fab. Chelsea was fab. I know Chelsea will probably want to know if you want to back to come and do another watch along. Here's Carl saying Chelsea was back, finger back. So let me know if you want Chelsea to come back and do some more watch alongs as well. That'd be great. And just before we go on to the penalty shootout, I do want to tell you guys, and there's a link in the description. I'm going to put a QR code up in a minute. We've got a partner by a new app called SofaScore, and this is what you can get. Chelsea used it during her watch along. Live scores, goal notification for the shown on TV. You can follow your favourite competition. That's even F1 and NFL and all sorts. You get ratings, including heat maps on there. As I say, it's absolutely free to download. You don't even have to register. You've got a shot map on there as well. On top, attack momentums that you can see where it was. All of this is within the app, and it's completely free. And you've always got the average where the players' positions are. Follow different tournaments that you can do as well. It's absolutely a cracking app. And also, as I say, you can get some historical data on games and stuff going back there. It's all packed in there. And all you need to do, I want you guys to do, you can either scan this QR code on here, download it. It's free. You don't have to register. There's no money or anything. It's completely free. And the link's in the description as below. So click the Always Wolves link on there. Download it. Let me know if you've downloaded it, will you, as well. And I'll just put this up for you here as well so you can find that. And scan the QR code or hit the link below if you're listening to it on the podcast. And let me know you go. I know a few of you, but Chelsea used it to such great effect. Hold on, I'm getting some more comments on Chelsea here. Big up to Captivating Chelsea doing the watch along. Patrick says she was great. Yes, please. Chelsea was brilliant. Rick reacts. She was excellent. Stopped me being depressed over the score. That's fantastic. Adrian said she did a great job. Never came up for air all game. Chelsea was great. So I'm taking it that you want to get Chelsea on as often as she's able to. I'll have a word with her and see whether she'll come and do some more for you guys. Right, guys, are you ready?
Oh, Dave, just before we start the quiz, I thought you were going to ask us moments of the cup game and that. I think that celebration of Acuna in the stands, that video, that little short thing on YouTube. Have you seen it?
When he was in the
he's in the Billy Wrighton, just behind the bench. You know, it's fantastic, isn't it? Like that sort of epitomises the team spirit that they've got, isn't it? You know, it's just fantastic. Actually,
I thought that was lovely, and I think that says a lot about what Sutty was saying about spirit. Of the games. Now I'm going to do the quiz. So Sutty, I'm going to give you the distinction of deciding whether you want to go to first, second, or third in the quiz.
First,
Boston Brian, second or third?
I'll go second.
Lewis, you happy with third? Okay.
Yeah.
So Sutty steps up. Penalty shootout for a place in the FA Cup semi-final. Who, Sutty, is Wolves' longest-serving manager? Is it Stan Cullis, Graham Turner, Bill McGarry, or Jack Addenbrook? A big pause here whilst he's thinking. He's tapping his pen. Stan Cullis, Graham Turner, Bill McGarry, or Jack Addenbrook. Need to hurry you. The South
Graham
Bank.
Turner.
You're going for Graham Turner. Unfortunately, you've missed the goal completely. It is Jack Addenbrook. Right, Boston Brian. Who was Wolves manager when they won the first division for the first time? Was it Major Frank Butler? Was it Bill McGarry? Was it Andy Beattie or Stan Cullis?
Who did you say first? You said Stan Cullis twice.
Major Frank Butler.
Frank Butler. Yeah.
Gary, Andy Beattie, Stan Cullis. He steps up. He places the ball.
It's Stan Cullis.
And he slots it away in the corner. It is Stan Cullis. Lewis, your first penalty. Who was the most successful manager for Wolves? Was it Bill McGarry? Was it Stan Cullis, Jack Addenbrook, or Major Frank Butler?
I go with Frank Buckley, Dave.
Frank Buckley. Unfortunately, the keeper saved it. It is Stan Cullis. So after the first round of penalties, Boston Brian is the only one to slot home his penalty. We go back to Super Sutty. Sutty, who was Wolves manager when they won the League Cup in 1980? Was it John Barnwell?
John Tommy Barnwell. Duxton?
It is John, literally John Smith, that. Bang. One out of two. Brian, which Wolves manager signed Steve Bull? Was it Tommy Docherty, Graham Turner, Ian Greaves, or Graham Taylor?
Graham Turner.
Slots it away. No problem. He's like turning round, puffing his collar out.
I was getting a bit worried then because I thought you were going to say Brian Little because it could have been, but thankfully it wasn't an option.
You got it right. So two out of two, such a one out of two. Lewis, which Wolves matter? Who was the Wolves manager when they won back-to-back promotions from the lower leagues in the 1980s? Was it Tommy Docherty, Graham Turner, Ian Greaves, or Graham Taylor?
I go Graham Taylor.
You going Graham Taylor?
Yeah.
Final answer?
Yeah.
It's Graham Turner, unfortunately. I thought you were going, when you went Graham Turner, I thought you were going to get that then. So, unfortunately, you cannot win this week's quiz. Sutty, you have to score this penalty. Otherwise, you're knocked out in the semi-final to get to the quarterfinals. So, Which manager took Wolves into the Premier League for the first time? Was it Dave Jones, Mick McCarthy, Graham Taylor, or Kenny Jackett?
Dave Jones.
Oh, puts it away. So, Brian, the pressure is on you now to score to win the quiz. Which manager, sorry, who is Wolves' worst manager based on win percentage? Is it Dean Saunders, Tommy Docherty, Terry Connor, or Sammy Chapman?
He never won a game, so it's Terry Connor.
Correct answer. You win the quiz. You're this week's champion. But, Lewis, you've got a chance to get the bronze here. Which Wolves manager was sacked after a humiliating 5-1 home defeat to local rivals West Birmingham Baggy Birds in 2012? Glenn Hoddle, Stal Sarberton, Dean Saunders, or Mick McCarthy? Lewis?
He's frozen.
He's literally frozen. He looks as if he's a deep in thought, but he's actually frozen.
He's done.
Lewis? Yeah, guys, Carla said, whilst waiting for Lewis, Carla said, look, smash the likes. Let's get up to 100 likes. You know, Adrian frozen, let it go, let it go. Well, there we go. There we go. Unfortunately, we seem to have lost Lewis there. You know, he's deep in thought, but I think he probably would have definitely got that one. Oh, hold on, he's back. He's back. You got frozen. You looked it. You were like this, right? Well, deep in thought. Did you hear the question?
No, Dave. I timed out when
you were still after the 5-1 defeat to West Bromwich Albion.
Mick McCarthy.
There you go. Told you we'd get that. So, guys, absolutely brilliant. Brian's this week's champion. Finally, you know, smash a like on the video. If you're new, please subscribe. And, yeah, we're going to just do our score predictions now for the weekend's game against Fulham. Lewis, we'll start with you, your score prediction.
I think 1-1, Dave.
1-1, OK. Brian?
1-1 as well, yeah. Yeah, I'd say 1-1.
1-1 draw. And to finish off with, score prediction, Wolverhampton Wanderers versus Fulham. Sutty.
I think we're going to get hammered, Dave.
Okay.
I think we're going to lose 3-0.
3-0. So he's going for a 3-0 loss, which is fair enough. I can tell you it's 81 minutes. It's still 6-0 to the Arsenal. They've obviously took their foot off the gas. There's a few coming down here. Chris Humphries.
Yeah, Lucas asked me to pass on that he thinks it'll be 2-0 Wolves.
Like his positivity. Chris Humphries is going for a 4-1. Rebecca Half a 2-1. Darren 1-0. And you'll have to wait for my prediction for the match preview. From all of us, I hope you've enjoyed it. Don't forget the SofaScore app, link in the link below. You can also donate to Manny as well if you want in the link. But finally, from all of us tonight, I hope you've enjoyed it. And yeah, always Wolves.
Always Wolves.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates are already booked in for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.